something. We've been talking about family relationships, been talking about relationships in general, family, that kind of thing for January. So here we are today, again, talking about having godly relationships. Now, this sounds very profound to you, I know, but if you want to have a godly relationship with other people, you got to be right with God. Now, did that really blow you away? If we want to have godly relationships, I've got to be right with God myself to have godly relationships with other people. And so many people, you know, that sounds so simple, but it's just like, well, I'm doing what I want to do, and I want a good relationship with people, with family, with what have you. Well, if you want to have godly relationships, we got to be right with God. And simple, it seems. If I want a good relationship, if I want a godly relationship with my family, I've got to be right with God and moving and growing and striving to know Him. Now, I'm going to make another statement here, and it's really going to blow you away. So are you ready? Are you holding on to your seat? You're ready, aren't you? It's really going to blow you away. You ready? Men and women are different. That was profound, somebody said down here. Amen. I mean, isn't that something? You say, preacher, you're really on a roll. I'm just joking. I'm not joking about men and women being different. And you say, yes, I know that. We have different thought processes. Have you ever noticed that? Men are like waffles and ladies are like spaghetti. You remember that book and that study we did one time? It was good. Men are from Venus and women are from Mars. You remember that? Different ways of doing things, men and women. Different ways of doing things. I mean, we do things different. Different. Real different. You see roses and he sees thorns. You plan another party and he's thinking, how much is it going to cost? Amen. We know through life, we know through reading all sorts of books and the Bible that we are different. And God said, it's okay, this is the way I'm making you. And I want you to fulfill your job as the man I've created you to be. I want you to fulfill your job as the woman I've made you to be. And here's the roles you're to play in society. Here's the roles you're to play in the home. This is the way I'm setting this up. And he's not changed last time I looked at the Word of God, that it's still the same. It was the same in 1800. It's the same in 1900. It's the same in the year 2020. God's Word is still absolute truth. Colossians today, on the screen, 3:18-25. Wives, submit to your husbands as it's fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you're serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Wonderful scripture, a lot of jokes about it. A lot of jokes about how women and men are to live, but if we take the Word of God seriously, it tells us how we're to live. It tells us how children are to behave. It tells us the model that God has for us. So the ladies here that are married, that kind of thing, you want to be godly wives. Well, I hope you do. You want to be a godly wife. You want to do what is right according to God. Well, part of this right here says, submit to your husband. So now what's submission? Humble obedience to another's will. Humble obedience to another's will. Let's look at Ephesians 5:22 on the screen. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And we get into all sorts of things when we read this. Submission. This is the day and age that the theory and the themes throughout society is don't submit to anybody. Don't submit to authority, the police, the people who are here to help us and serve us and protect us. Don't submit to anything. You know, you do your thing the way you want to, when you want to. If it feels good, do it. Don't worry about all that other stuff. That's not what God, His Word says. It says for us to submit. Submission to a husband comes when a wife is submitted to God. Now, we all have some discussions from time to time. We don't have arguments. Boy, she's making notes. I was going to say a funny, but I better not. I don't think she's in the mood to take it today. She's just writing. To be in submission to God comes first. That's how we're going to have to do this. If I'm submitted to God, then treating my wife the way God says for me to treat her comes much easier. If my wife is submitted to God, then her treating me the way God says for her to treat me is easier for her to do. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. There's all kinds of submission going on in the Word of God. And there is an order to things that God has put in place. So whose leadership will we follow? Pick out somebody that you think has a great marriage and say, well, I'm going to follow what they do. Well, that's okay. I'm going to read this book by whoever and it'll help me, and that's okay too. But God has a way and He has a plan for this submission. And we're to look at God, what He said about marriage. The wife is to ultimately follow the husband's leadership. And usually that's not a problem if the husband is treating the wife as the Bible tells us as men to treat our wives as Christ loved the church. And that's always a huge statement every time I read it or think about it. And I want to tell you, how am I to live up to that? To love my wife as Christ loves the church. That's a whole lot of stuff to talk about and think about and to be within my heart and my being. People said many times, well, what if my husband's not a Christian? What about this submission stuff then? I say respect your husband. Respect your husband. And if you don't respect a husband, a man, a boyfriend, whatever you're at in life, and young ladies who are not married and sitting up here on the front row or whatever, I'm going to tell you, a man wants to be respected, and it needs to happen. Young, old, and every age. And if he feels he's not, he don't know how to act. 1 Peter 3:1-7, a changed life speaks loudly and clearly and is often the most effective way to win a family member. Now, that's life application. It's worded a little different. A changed life speaks loudly and clearly, and it's often the most effective way to win a family member. So if he's not saved, respect him, it says. And your changed life will help him see Jesus. It goes on to talk about inner beauty. All of you beautiful ladies here today, young and old, the Bible says work on inner beauty. Work on the inside. You know, somebody said, you know, if an old barn needs a coat of paint, put a little red paint on it. I don't guess it hurts anything. You know, y'all got this stuff here and this stuff here. Fix your hair. It takes me a long time to get my hair done every morning. Y'all know it really does. How long y'all spend on your hairdo? 5 minutes, he said. I'm about 1 minute and I'm done. Y'all just ain't with me, are you? Real quiet, isn't it? Like, what's next? To develop inner beauty. How do we go about that, ladies? Rather than being concerned about that outer look as much. To lead a quiet life with a quiet spirit, the Bible says. To love your husband. Well, ladies say that's enough. Go on to the husband. Well, what about it, men? What are we to do? We say we're supposed to love our wife the way Christ loves the church. And we've already said, man, that's a task. My daughter said to my little grandson the other day, he snarled his nose up about something or what, I can't remember all he was doing. And I heard these words, be sweet. Be sweet. Evidently he wasn't being sweet. And she says, be sweet. Men, can you be sweet? Now, when I say that in this day and time, there's all kinds of theories and thoughts rushing through people's mind. You're in church. You shouldn't be having those thoughts. Be sweet. Is that hard for you, men, to be sweet? Some of you got a sweet husband. Nice to you. Be sweet, men, to your wife. With selflessness, selfless, then ness, selflessness. What's that all about? Not being selfish, right? And be sweet. Husband, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Let that sink in, men. It takes a while. It takes a lifetime for that to sink in. So hopefully we got a lot of time to practice. Billy Graham, everybody knows that name. And here's some words that he said. Dogs are quick to show their affection. They never pout. They never bear a grudge. They never run away from home when mistreated. They never complain about their food. They never gripe about the way the house is kept. They're courageous. They're ready to protect their mistress at the risk of their own lives. They love children, and no matter how noisy or boisterous they are, the dog loves every minute of it. In fact, a dog is still in competition with the husband. Perhaps if we husbands imitated a few of our dog's virtues, our family might be better off. If Billy Graham said it, it's got to be true. Billy Graham. Men should love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Ephesians 5:8. A lot of love going on here, men. A lot of sweetness and selflessness going on. And to love as Christ loves the church. Now you know how Christ loves the church. You know that he died for the church. You know what Christ has gone through for his bride, for his church. And he says, men, I want you to love your wives this way. 1 Corinthians 11:3, the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now you say, preacher, I've heard this stuff, and you know that might have been good back in about 1930. It's good in 2020. It's good today. And you say, well, why is society so out of whack, if that's a word? Why is everything turned upside down? Why is it that we have this theory over here and this theory over here, a conservative thought, a liberal thought, a political thought, and all these different schisms and isms telling us how to live? Why is the world turned upside down? And a very simple answer is we've gotten out of God's divine plan. Simple answer. We don't have to talk about the government programs. We don't have to talk about the school programs. We don't have to. Listen, it comes right down to very simple facts we've got out of the divine plan of a divine God who said, I created men and women. I did it in my own image. And listen, this is the way you're to live. And here is the whole Word of God for our day and time. Old Testament, New Testament, here it is. I've died for your sins. I'm giving you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit to lead you. You've got my Word. Here's how you live. And then what do we do? Well, that's a pretty good suggestion, but it's not a suggestion. It's the holy, divine Word of Almighty God. And we take that over a suggestion, over a theory, over really what I want to do sometimes. We take it as what it is, the divine Word of God, and we live by it. Somebody said, you need to study your wife. I've been studying her for 35 years. Maybe longer than that. And every time I think I got her figured out, she does something else. Whew. It's rough, isn't it, honey? It's going to be a long afternoon if I don't hush. Do you study your wife, men? You say, well, what are you talking about? Do you study her? Do you get to know her? Do you know? Who is she? And again, by the time you think you got it figured out, something changes. Study her. Be sweet. Don't be selfish, but selflessness. The Bible says, I want you to be gentle to your wife, men. Be gentle. I want you to give honor to your wife. So, men, we gotta see. Are we in the ballpark here? Are we where we need to be? And if not, we want to ask forgiveness and move forward doing good things. Gary Chapman's five love languages, you've heard of them. We're going to give Angie's small group a quiz right now. If you're in that small group, I want you to answer this question. No, I'm just kidding. Throw them on the screen. There they are. They've been studying these things. You've completed that study, young people. So there it is, the five love languages. Well, now which one? If I've been studying my wife, which one would she appreciate most today? You've been studying your husband. Which one would he appreciate today? There they are. You can read them. Words of affirmation, quality time, receiving gifts, acts of service, physical touch. Well, now which one? Do they change from time to time? I think that means yes. But think about them. Look at them. Study them. Marriage. A wonderful thing. A man leaves his parents in a public act. You went to see Philip the other day, didn't you, this weekend? New married couple. And Philip said, listen, Leslie and Cindy, it's been nice, but I'm out of here. He didn't say it just like that, did he? But it come a time. And before people, he says, listen, I know I'm leaving my mom and dad. I'm in a public act of marriage here before people and God, and I'm going to be to join together with this woman, Emily. And they got married. They become one in God. Studies, surveys, all that kind of stuff we can look at. And then, yes, some of them are important. But a lot of what's being printed and being saying, the serious books, as I call them, say that young people are too impatient to find out what marriage is this day and time. Too impatient to really know what marriage is. That means the give and the take and learning to truly live with somebody else, as God has said in His Word here. That they can't wait. They don't give it enough time. They don't have enough tolerance. They don't know the give and take. And before they learn that, they just quit. And that's sad. Dr. James Dobson, 12 marriage killers. Throw them up on the screen, and you can see those marriage killers. Now, that very top one, overcommitment and physical exhaustion. How many says, I'm so busy, I'm just so busy, I'm so busy I can't come to church, I'm so busy I can't do this, I'm so busy that I can't do anything important, but I'll stay on my phone for 24 hours a day, I'll go here, I'll shop here, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do anything I want to, but I'm just so busy I can't do the important things. 24 hours is 24 hours. Overcommitment and physical exhaustion. Is that you? Is that a problem in your marriage? Just overcommitted to so many things? Well, you know the preacher's going to say you need to let some of that other stuff go so you can come to church. We're committed here and committed there. I just don't have any time. Sunday's my only day off. If I have a day off and I've got to do this and I've got to do that on Sunday, and then you forget God and church and you're forgetting what we're talking about. We're forgetting as a society what is at the top, what God has said, His Word, divine, holy, righteous God, who said this is the order. And we forget that because we're so busy with everything else and we don't take time to put things in the right order, and everything gets out of whack in a marriage, in a family, in a society, in a world. Excessive debt, selfishness, that comes up a lot today. Interference from in-laws. Don't you say a word, Colton. He told me, you've got me two Sundays in a row. That's about enough. And I said, amen. unrealistic expectations, space invaders, alcohol, substance abuse, addictions, loneliness, and low self-esteem. Business failure, business success, getting married too young. Now, there's some marriage killers, according to Dr. James Dobson. And we need to look at them. Is God the centerpiece of your heart and your life? Is He? Now really, you're not answering out loud. You're not answering me. You're answering God today. Is God the centerpiece of your life? Are you sold out to God and His will? Is He the centerpiece of your life? Yes or no? Well, maybe that He's not in His rightful place. And maybe this day is the day, whether we're talking about marriage or any other subject, that this is the day that I'm going to put God in His rightful place. This is the day that I know if all these relationships we've been talking about in the month of January are to fall in place, I must start with myself. I must start with myself before God, before truth, absolute truth, God's holy word, and I've got to look at what it says and then look at my life and start putting things in the rightful place in the right order, that I can have godly relationships. So, well, what about children then? You've been talking about the wives and the husbands, and what about the children that we had in our first scripture? Children, obey your parents. And you say, wow, do they still have to do that? Do we still do that? According to God's word, you do. So, teenagers, are you children? You're above that, aren't you? You still obey your parents. Parents, you know, it's getting hard to obey mine after all this time. I try. My mother says I don't do a very good job. R.C., I can't believe you said that. R.C., I can't believe you did that. I say, well, Mama, Mother. I am to honor them if at their age. Children, what are you going to do? You're going to obey your parents? You're going to rebel? You're going to do what you want to do when you want to, or what? Well, what about this right here? It's scripture for you. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. For this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So how as a child, how am I supposed to live up to the Word of God? And how am I supposed to do this? That means you obey your parents, just what it says, entirely. And you do it respectfully. You know what respectfully means? If you need any help, my dad can help you understand that. He could help people understand that big old hand of his. To be respectful, to honor parents. Ephesians says this, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on earth. Obey your parents. We all have some times that we're not too good at some of this, but we got to be striving. We got to be trying our best with the help of the Lord. And parents, how important is the Word of God in your home? How important is the Word of God in your home as parents? Is it ever brought up other than church? Is it brought up on a regular basis? Do they see you reading the Word of God? Do they see you living out the Word of God? What do your children see? How does dad treat mom? And how does mom treat dad? And does it match up with the Word of God? It's a chore, but we can live up to it with the Lord's help. You ever have a prayer time with your children or grandchildren? Just say, let's have a prayer time. How do you communicate with one another? How active are you in the kingdom of God and in church? And what's really going to matter in the long run? So, you've got one more Sunday, maybe, to hear about the family. We'll move on to something else. But we're looking at our homes. We're looking inside our own life. We're looking inside of my own home. I don't have time to be worried about everybody else's home. And I don't mean that the way it sounds. As a pastor, I always have time for that and to help and to pray. But really, when we start looking at things in the context of this month, I'm looking at my life and my relationship to the Lord. I'm looking at my home and what needs to be improved, not everybody else's. And I hope you're doing the same thing, to look at your life and your home. Last item on the screen today, we've mentioned this several times, that strong homes make strong churches. And strong churches make a strong nation. And that's so important. I believe it with all my heart. A strong home is going to make a strong church. We come together, and as you're strong in the Lord in your home, then that strengthens the church. And as we come together as the body of Christ, the stronger our homes are in the Lord, the stronger the church will be. And the stronger the churches are throughout our land, the stronger the nation will be. So, you know, don't throw tomatoes at me, and don't write nasty letters and all that. Just go home and say, Lord, is it true? If he says yes, it'd be okay. I love you. God loves you. And we're to love one another. Is anybody perfect in the room? I want you to stand up and come forward and pray for the rest of us. Have we all got something we can learn? You better believe it. But this is God's way, God's word, and I believe as we follow it, we'll be blessed people. Would you stand with me? Our Father, how thankful we are to be here and to live and be able to say our life counts in 2020. No matter what age we are, a baby in the nursery, children in children's church, youth here in the service, and to our oldest saint in the building, we are a thankful people that we can know we are the body of Christ, that we can know we're loved by Almighty God, And Lord, it's easy for us to look at situations in our world today and say, what is wrong? What is happening? When children hear something in Sunday school and preaching, and then they go out and they hear so many other things that claim to be true, what are they to believe? My prayer today is that all of us gathered here will search the Scripture. We'll search the Word of God. We'll know that we have today, not promised tomorrow, but we'll make the most of today. And Father, as we look in our own life and our own hearts, if there's things that need to be adjusted, may that happen today. And I pray for every man here today, God, that is in a relationship, is dating or married or what have you. May we not just look at this and just say, well, yeah, that's another sermon on men. I'll be doing this and that. We'll take it to heart. I pray every husband will ask themselves the question right here and now, how am I treating my wife? Is it the way the Lord says to do it? I pray every wife here will ask herself the question, how am I treating my husband? Is it the way the Lord has instructed? For every child, help them to see the importance of obeying their parents. For all of us here, may we see the importance of the love of God and imitating our Savior Jesus and doing what Jesus has told us to do. Because we can get so busy that we just don't think sometimes how we're acting. It just don't dawn on us that here's an area that we need to work in. And Holy Spirit, we're thankful that you do your job well. And we're asking, Holy Spirit, have free reign. Speak to us today. And God, around an altar or in our pews, may we do business with you just right now. And we thank you for loving us and speaking to us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.